I encourage you to find your outline in your bulletin. If you will, turn to the book of Numbers. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. It's the fourth book in the Bible from the front. Or you can use your, in the front, your, find the directory there, whatever page number it is. I was thinking about some things as I prayed and thought. This came to my mind, and felt like the Lord was talking to me about some things, and I want to share those. So, if you find that, we will look at that. I'm entitled, Look to God for Contentment. There's probably other ways we could look at this, but this is the life of Israel, the nation Israel, after he had delivered them from Egypt, and they were going to the Promised Land. And some things aren't going like they thought it ought to. And so they are not very content with where they are. But I believe there's some lessons, some principles that are in this account that I want us to think about today and apply. So, Numbers chapter 11. I want to read starting in verse 1. I'm not going to read the entire chapter. You may want to reread that on your own. But let me at least start with chapter 11, verse 1. It says, Now the people became like those who complain of adversity in the hearing of the Lord. And when the Lord heard it, his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some of the outskirts of the camp. The people therefore cried out to Moses, and Moses prayed to the Lord, and the fire died out. So the name of that place was called Terebah, because the fire of the Lord burned among them. The rabble who were among them had greedy desires, and also the sons of Israel wept again and said, Who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we used to eat free in Egypt, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our appetite is gone. There's nothing at all to look at except this manna. Now the manna was like coriander seed, and in its appearance was like that of delium. The people would go about and gather it and grind it between two millstones, or beat it in the mortar and boil it in the pot and make cakes with it. And its taste was as a taste of cakes baked with oil. When the dew fell in the camp at night, the manna would fall with it. So I want to think about some things that I see in this account. First of all, if you've got your notes out, outline out, I'm going to talk about asking God to do some things, four things for us in the light of this account. First one is, ask God to give me a clear view of the past. Ask God to give me a clear view of the past. In verse 5, they're said, We remember the fish which we used to eat and eat free in Egypt, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. Then in verse 18 of Numbers 11, it said, Say to the people, Consecrate yourself, for tomorrow you shall eat meat. For you wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, Oh, that someone would give us meat to eat, for we were well off in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you meat, and you shall eat. And he goes on to talk about how he did that. What I'm thinking about is, as I read this, the people of Israel had left Egypt. And now they're saying, we liked what we had in Egypt. Do you remember what they were doing in Egypt? They were slave laborers. They were working. And the other scriptures passages you read through this whole account of this whole process, they were griping. They were complaining to the Lord that they were under bondage and they didn't like it. Here, they seem to have forgotten about the past. They seem to have another thought. They didn't really clearly remember the past. Do we ever do that? Two things about the past that I'm thinking about for a minute. We tend sometimes to make it worse than it really was, because when we think about it and we remember it, it sort of gets worse. Do you ever hear anybody tell you a story about how bad it was, and when they got through, it was worse than it was and when they started? We sometimes do that in the past, so this people didn't remember that. On the other hand, we embellish the past. We talk about how wonderful it is. But what I'm suggesting is this people, this nation, this group of people, really wasn't being honest about the past. Because when they were talking about onions and garlic and all the fish and all the other stuff, in fact, in verse 18, how well off they were. They were where? Not only in Egypt, but what else? They were in bondage underneath another government. Now, what I'm suggesting is we need to remember what I was before I met Jesus. Clearly remember what I was before I met Jesus. The scripture on your notes says, "For we also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." Is that true of us before we met Jesus? Now, I know different ones of us met Him at different times, so the level of that may be different. But I need to remember what I was before I met Christ. Who I was and where I was headed. Before I met Jesus, I was going to hell. I was living a life, and everything I was living, because it wasn't for Jesus, was temporary for this world and had no future as far as eternity is concerned. I need to be honest with myself about that. The other passage says, "Therefore consider the members of your body, your earthly body, is dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it's because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience, and in them you also once walked when you were living in them." That's where we were. I didn't always realize that, because I became a believer in Christ when I was relatively young, 14 years old. And I guess I thought I was pretty good. And then one day the Lord reminded me that I was the worst sinner as anybody else before I met Jesus. I still remember, which I mentioned before, a lady who shared at a conference we were at. She was telling about her very sordid background before she met Jesus. And she didn't go into full detail, but enough to let us know it wasn't the kind of life you want. But I still remember her saying to us, "It didn't take any more of the grace of God to save me than it did you." I need to remember where I've been and not let that control my thinking. So I ask God to give me a clear view of the past. But along with that, the second thing, I want to ask God to help me leave the past for the present. Ask God to help me leave the past for the present. What's going on? The passage I've listed talks about the Israelites, and then I'll think some more about other areas of us. It says, "Now it came about at midnight that the Lord struck all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. Pharaoh arose in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was no home where there was not someone dead. Then he called for Moses and Aaron at night and said, 'Rise, get up from among my people, both you and the sons of Israel. Go worship the Lord as you have said. Take both your flocks and your herds as you have said, and go and bless me also.'" God had allowed them to be delivered. God had heard their cry, the scripture says. And this passage describes the night when the Passover came, and all the firstborn of the Egyptians and their families and their livestock was dead the next day. Out of that, Pharaoh said, "Get out of here." Now, I know he relented a little bit later, but what had happened here in this occasion? What had God done for Israel? He'd set them free. He said, I'm going to set you free. I'm going to give you a better life. Are they remembering that right now in this passage? Are they remembering what God had already done for them, that He had delivered them from a bondage in Egypt, that they had been there 430 years, and now He's got them free? Listen, has God done anything in your life? Has He delivered you from anything? Has He changed your past, forgiven you of your sins, set you free, given you a new purpose and a new life? Why in the world do I want to go back to what it was before? These Israelites are saying, we want to go back to Egypt. We want to go back to where we were under bondage. We want all this stuff that we think we had. And I don't know if they had all that or not, but I would imagine that slaves in Egypt probably didn't get to eat too many fish and too many leeks and too many melons. I got a feeling they got a very meager diet if they were honest with themselves. So I want to leave that behind because we have been liberated. Have you been liberated? Has Jesus Christ forgiven you your sins and made you a child of God? And you know today, you're born again, you're a child of God, you're a new creation in Christ. He has forgiven you. He's made us a new people. And by the way, if it hadn't happened, it can happen this morning if you give your heart to Jesus and ask Him to do it for you. Because He's promised to do that. So let me think about this. They were going back to what they had before they got saved, looking to that for pleasure now. I want to suggest some things that since we have met Jesus and we've been born again, that maybe needs to be different. And ask ourselves, am I looking to my past and the pleasures I had from the past for the pleasures I have today in my life? That's what they were doing. They were saying, we want all the stuff we thought we had back in Egypt. Let me suggest some things that maybe we want to look at differently because I want to leave the past for what God has done in the present. For instance, when you become a child of God, before you became a child of God, did you read certain books and magazines that you thought were pleasurable? Do you want to go back and read those again? If you do, something's wrong. Suppose, for instance, the TV programs you used to enjoy and the movies you used to enjoy. Do you still want to go back to those again as a place of enjoyment? Or has God set you free and you say, I'm going to go to something better? What about your music? Is what you listen to and really enjoy the music before or after you met Jesus? I need to ask myself, am I honoring Jesus with these things that I read, that I watch? What about the internet, what I looked at and what I did? Has there been any change? Why do I want to go back to that garbage for pleasure today? That's what I see in this passage of Scripture. Do you ever find yourself, if you are married today, saying, you know, I wish I had what we had way back then? Now, nothing wrong with improvement, okay? But do you sometimes find yourself griping because your mate isn't what you thought they were when you married them? Do you find yourself thinking, well, now, when we used to go together, it was fun. It was such a delight. We just loved and enjoyed each other. And now some days you wake up and you're grouchy. And you find yourself saying, I want to go back to there. There's nothing wrong with enjoying those past. But I need to ask myself, am I letting God move me from the past to what I have today? What is presently? What is going on in my life this day? The same may be true about the way I dress. Do I use God's style or do I do the ungodly style? What about the places I go? Are they the same or have there been a change? See, what I'm suggesting is, I read the Scripture passage, it just reminded me, these Israelites are looking back to bondage days for the pleasure today. And it really wasn't true. It was a lie. And I'm suggesting I want God to change my heart so that when I'm looking at, I'm looking for the things He's doing in my life today, that He's changed me. That in the present, I am a new creation, which I'll talk more in a minute. I ask God to help me to be willing to leave the past and let it go. Not go back to those things that I once enjoyed before I met Jesus as the source of my pleasure for this day. Because if Jesus has changed me, He's given me a whole new set of things to enjoy. So on the other side of your notes, ask God to help me see the joy of the present. Ask God to help me see the joy of the present. There's nothing wrong with enjoying things that you enjoyed in the past that are godly or other things. But these Israelites were griping instead of enjoying what God had provided for them right at the moment. They were saying, in verse 7 to 9, they're talking about that manna. The manna was like coriander seed, and its appearance was like that of Delium. The people would go about and gather it and grind it between two millstones, or beat it in the mortar and boil it in the pot and make cakes with it. And its taste like the taste of cakes baked with oil. When the dew fell on the camp at night, the manna would fall with it. Listen, do you think God knew what they needed at that moment? Do you think God knew what they would need to sustain them in the midst of a desert? And they were saying, God, we don't like what you provided. We're tired of your manna. Maybe I need to say, God, thank you for what I have, instead of what I don't have. Because they were saying, all we got is this manna. But I want you to notice something about that. What did they have to do to earn it? God said, here it is, you just pick it up. Do we sometimes forget that when we get something free, we fail to appreciate it because it didn't cost us anything? Sometimes. But it was there. Was it nourishing for them? It kept them alive for 40 years. That's what they ate for 40 years. The Bible indicates they could make it into cakes, they could boil it, they could do several things with it, so it wasn't the same all the time. And God had provided for them. Help me to see the joy of the present. In fact, it probably tasted good. It seemed like it. So what I'm suggesting is, God, help me see the joy of what's going on right now, because God is providing for me right now, this moment, this day, what He knows I need better than I know what I need, and I don't need to quit griping because He didn't give me something else that I thought I wanted from the past. So what I'm suggesting is, remember what He's done. Let me share the scripture passage that's on your notes. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellency of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. For once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Is that true? Can you read that and say, this is true for me? Have you been delivered? Are you the people of God? Can you say, I'm a royal priesthood. I belong to God. I've been called out of darkness into light. I was a nobody. Now God made me somebody. See, I need to celebrate the joy of who I am right now in Jesus. What He's given me and what He's doing in me, and the joy of being what I have. Because I will guarantee you that if you look at your life and look at some other people's life, you've got a whole lot more than they've got. And I need to celebrate instead of letting the devil cause me to gripe and complain because I don't have what I used to have or what somebody else has that I think, well, they don't deserve it. They shouldn't have as much as they have. And we gripe about it. No. See, these people were saying, God, we're tired of this. I believe I need to say, God, you know me. You know what I'm thinking. You know what I need, and you're providing for it. And I thank you that I've got the manna that I've got. It doesn't mean we can't do better in life and all that, but I'm just talking about an attitude. I forgot something I need to go back to about leaving the past for the present that I really want us to think about here in the light of where we are. And that is, this church is in the midst of some changes. Several changes. We changed treasures. We're changing pastors. We changed music leaders. We changed whatever, several things. And what I want to suggest to you out of this is this. If I'm not careful, I say, I don't like that. I want to go back to when Pastor Gene was the only pastor. I want to go back to when Walt was the only music director. I want to go back when... and say, the joy that I had then, I want to bring that back in the present. Instead of saying, God, you brought these people into leadership who are in leadership now. And say, God, I thank you for who they are and for what they're going to do. I liked it better when... sure, we have preferences. But what I'm suggesting to me and the rest of us is to say, God, I accept the manna you provided today for this church, for this situation, for this moment. Instead of going back and saying, well, I don't like it because it's not like it was in the past. Because you can't go back to the past, and probably your memory of the past is, like I said earlier, it's either distorted, either worse or better than maybe it was. Has God brought us to where we are today? I believe with all my heart, God has brought about the changes that He's making. Some of them I would not have done if I had had a choice, but He didn't give me a choice on some of them. So I want to celebrate the present. I want to say, God, I want to go with what You're doing in the life of this body, in the life of this church, for this day and this time and the way You're doing it with the people You're doing it. And if I have to make some changes, I'll make some changes because I want to accept the fact that I'm not going to gripe about Your manna. I want You to rejoice in what You provided for me and to celebrate that. And so I'm saying to us, God, help us to not go back to the past, but say, God, You brought us to this point, this day. And so I'm going to celebrate where we are at this moment with You. Because I really believe God brought Pastor Ryan here. I believe God brought Rachel here. I believe God brought others, Lori here. I believe God's bringing people. So if He's given them to us, let's work with what He's doing. Instead, I wish we had Darla back. You understand what I'm saying? As I read this, it just hit me. As I read this passage of Scripture some time ago, Karen and I were reading, it just hit me. They were wanting to go back to all the stuff before they, while they were in bondage. For pleasure today. No. I don't want to go there. So help me to see, Lord, what You're doing today. Let's celebrate what You're doing right now. Let's watch what You're doing. Let's get in on it. Let's say, God, I'll go with it. Yeah, I may have to change some attitudes. I may not like the style or whatever. I may not like the way Lori presents a financial statement. So what? God put her here. Let's celebrate that. I hope you catch what I'm trying to say. Because I believe the devil has been trying to get us to get discouraged and to gripe because we're not what we used to be and that we don't have the same things happening we used to happen when God may be saying, I've got something more for you. And this is where I've put you, so I'm going to lead you further down the road. The last thing on your notes, ask God to help me see where He wants to take me. Ask God to help me see where He wants to take me. These Israelites, where was God taking them? What did God have in mind when He set them free from Egypt and started leading them out? Where were they going? Let me read this passage on your notes, the first one. The Lord said, I've seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt. Notice what He said? I've seen what? The affliction of my people, Israel, who are in Egypt. And have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters. For I'm aware of their suffering. You see, God's sort of telling the truth about what was going on. So I have come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from the land to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey." Where is God taking them? God was taking them to a promised land. Now, it took longer than they wanted. It didn't go as easy as they wanted, but where was God taking them? If they had been listening to God, where were they going to wind up? In the promised land. And so they didn't see that. They were just looking at the moment. Let me ask you, is God taking us somewhere? Is God got something in mind for us as individuals, as a Christian? Let me read the passage, the last passage on your notes. "And I said, Who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you're persecuting, but get up and stand on your feet. For this purpose I have appeared to you, to appoint you a minister and a witness, not only to the things which you have seen, but also to the things in which I will appear to you, rescuing you from the Jewish people, from the Gentiles to whom I'm sending you, to open their eyes so they may turn from darkness to light, from the dominion of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me." What a heritage. Is this true? Are you looking forward to that? This is what God told Paul to preach and why he told him to do it. But he said, we get to turn from darkness to light, from the dominion of Satan to God. Is that where we are? Do we have an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in Jesus? Are you looking forward to anything else? Does God have something more for us as we obey Him, as we walk with Him, as we yield to Him, as we cooperate with Him? Does He have a lot more for our life if we'll just let Him? You see, I'm concerned if we don't let Him, we'll have trouble. Because when you read this account and the rest of the story, God led them up to the promised land. God said, this is what I want you to have. This is what I got available for you. And all but two of the people said, we don't want it because we think it's too difficult. And they didn't get in on the promised land for 40 years. They all died. I'm asking myself, Lord, are you leading me up to the promised land you want to provide for me? Am I going in or am I going to say I don't like it, so I'm going to stay around and wander for another 40 years? Because I believe that's part of what God's saying to us. As we look at this, God says, I want you to... Did God want them in the promised land? That was God's desire. And it took them a long... They finally got there, but it took 40 years later. And so I'm saying God has something in store for us. I also want to suggest that God was not only leading them to the promised land and leading us to better things. I believe with all my heart, God is leading us as a church body. He has a lot more things He wants to do through us in the kingdom and in the ministry that we don't even think about. There are souls out here who need Jesus, and God wants to use us to reach those souls. There are people who need help in their Christian life, and God wants us to use us to do that. God wants us to say, let me show you where I want to lead you. He's leading us through the events of this day to what He's got planned in the future. And I want to guarantee you what He's got planned for the future is better than you and I could even dream it would be. Because He has a purpose. We are not here just for ourselves. We're here in the kingdom of God for the purpose of God, for the ministry of God, and we want to move ahead. Yeah, the devil's going to interfere, but we're not going to let him. We're going to stay together. We're going to move. So as you think about this, I just like you to think about that. Is any of this true for me? Is any of it true for you? Are you dwelling in the past? Are you looking to the past for trying to do those things now as a Christian to have the same? Or are you saying, God, I'm going to leave that stuff behind and look for some new ways to serve you? Am I finding myself willing to leave the past and move on to what God has for me? Can I say, God, help me see the joy of today? What you've done. Listen, if God never did another thing in my life, I have an abundance of delight and joy that I don't deserve anyway if nothing good ever happened in the rest of my days here on earth. to be born again, to know I'm going to heaven and belong to the living God is more than I deserve. So all the other of it is just gravy on the pot. They're just extra stuff. Because we have so much already. To be a child of God. To be in on His plan. On His purpose. The Israelites are in. They finally got there, but Lord, help us not to wander. Help us to accept where He's taking us and move ahead. Because I believe that He has much more for me and you and for us as a body of believers if we'll go together. I pray that we'll not be sitting around griping because we didn't get the pass, whatever that is. But we're saying, God, help us to go ahead. Let's move toward what You want us to do. Help us to be what You envision us to be. We can be an effective witness and a light for Jesus and His community by going together, whatever He's leading us to do. Let's bow together.